give God some praise, amen. Just give God some praise, because he's worthy to be praised, amen. He is worthy to be praised. When we think about the goodness, oh, hallelujah, she must have read my message. When we think about the goodness of what God has done for us, amen.
Amen.
When I look at how he's changed me, I'm serious. When I look at how he's changed me, see, because I remember when I didn't have all my faculties in line with my spirituality, amen.
All right.
And when I look at that, oh, I'm so thankful to God for the difference that he's made in my life, amen.
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 We're going to take a look at a few things today. And I'm going to try not to hold you too long, but I am going to go over a few things. Amen. And there's a cardinal rule of life that I'm certain that everybody here, I'm serious, everybody here has heard at some point in their life. And what that cardinal rule is, a lot of us, we might not have really understood it or understood the importance of it. For some, it was just a slogan that they heard, just a reference that they heard, just something that they heard people saying. But to the pure at heart, this phrase means a whole lot more, because not only is it a spiritual connotation, not only is it the word of God, but it is the law of God. And we've taken this for granted because we just look at it as, oh, it's just something everybody says. And the verse is Matthew 7:12, and it reads, Therefore all things, whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, amen. I'm going to go there again. Therefore all things, whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do you even so to them. Do you even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. For this is the law and the prophets. So I want you to take a minute, just look at that. What type of mindset do we possess when it comes to this? How do we interact with people? Are we helping? Are we assisting others? And not only what type of mindset do we possess, but what particular character do we have? How are we treating somebody? How do we treat those around us? How do we interact when it comes to people around us? Do we talk to them respectfully? And when I look at this scripture, I looked at that word and I said it a couple times. All. That means everything that we do. No matter how you're interacting with people, no matter what type of circumstance it is, no matter what the situation it is, we give to them and we talk to them and we treat them the same way that we would want somebody to treat us.
Amen.
The same way.
Right.
A lot of times we've heard that, oh, we're doing others doing to you. Right. Mm-hmm. Well, it's more. It's the law of God.
Yes.
Amen.
It is the law of God. That's what the scripture just said.
Uh-huh.
It is the law. So when you're dealing with people and they done rubbed you the wrong way, you need to think before you speak.
Amen.
That's right.
How am I, you know, do I really want to go there with them like that? Because if the shoe was on, and I'm giving you an example. Has anybody ever called the utility company behind a bill that you done got, and you know that this is not the right numbers here?
Amen.
This can't be my, this is not what you charging me. And the person on the other line is like, well, if that's what it says, then that's what it is. And you're going to have to pay it, or we're going to be there on the 15th, and we're going to turn your power off. And you really want to tell them something.
Amen.
You really want to tell them something. But amen. But
come on.
If you was in their shoe, and I'm telling you, if you was sitting on the other end of that telephone call, and it was you answering the phone, think about that. How would you want somebody to talk to you? Because it's not her fault that you neglected to pay the bill and I done doubled and you can't understand why twice as high as it should be.
Mm-hmm.
Trust me, they didn't make a mistake. You forgot to pay last month's bill, and now it's two times the amount, and you having a fit because you're trying to, where am I going to come up with all this money? Somebody got to answer up. It's not my fault. And this lady on the other line, I'm going to need to convince you that you need to help me. But sometimes we got to think about, if the shoe was on the other foot, how would you interact with somebody? How would you handle that situation? Do unto others as you want them to do unto you. It says in all circumstances, in every aspect of life, do unto them as you want them to do unto you. I don't care what type of thing you're going through, whatever your predicament is. Because people around us go through things. People around us are suffering from things. We encounter people every day. And we're not really sure. We look at people and we're wondering, wonder how they got in that situation, how they got in that circumstances, why they going through that, because we don't know their predicaments. We don't know what led to their predicaments. But because people, and I'm just saying people in general, and I'm not talking about nobody here, people in general have a tendency to look at people the wrong type of way when they think they're not doing as good as you expect them to be doing. Amen. You look at their predicament of life and you find yourself and you say, man, well, wonder what's wrong with them. And so you treat them differently. You look at them differently. You talk to them differently. Why? Because they don't dress the way you dress. They don't talk the way you talk. They don't smell the way you smell.
That's right.
They don't communicate the same way you communicate. We have to learn to treat people the same. Because we never know. Take this. Understand this. As my son would say, this one's free. You never know when the shoe of life may change.
Amen.
And it's not in your favor.
Amen.
You never know. So you got to be real cautious of how you interact with people. Amen.
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 Moving right along. Amen. We're going to go over to a verse found in the book of Luke, chapter 10. Starting with verse 25. The title of today's message is The Good Samaritan.
All right. Amen.
For some of us, we've probably read this a couple times. We believe that we're familiar with the passage. And for the most part, we probably are.
Amen.
10:25. And Jesus was sitting in one of the synagogues one day, and he was teaching as he normally does, answering people, asking him questions about the kingdom of God and about Christ and about life and about the different things that they had to do. And one man came up to him and he asked him a question. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answered and said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength,
Amen.
And with all thy mind, and thy neighbor, and thy neighbor,
Amen.
And thy neighbor as thyself.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Look to the person next to you and say, hello, neighbor.
Hello.
Look around to the person behind you and say, hello, neighbor.
Hello, neighbor.
Look to the people in front and say,
hello, neighbor.
You see, sometimes we get confused with who our neighbor is, amen. And love thy neighbor as thyself. Sometimes we don't understand that the person walking down the street pushing the cart is your neighbor. Amen. Sometimes we don't understand that relative that we have that we ain't heard from for the last 10 years is your neighbor. Amen. Sometimes we don't understand that that kid that I really don't want to be bothered with that I brought into this world. Amen. It's driving me crazy, amen. And it calling me up at 2 o'clock in the morning, amen. It's my neighbor, amen. Oh, hallelujah. Sometimes we tend to forget who the neighbor is. Oh, hallelujah. For some of us, we got to get a better understanding of what the neighbor is all about.
Yeah, amen.
Amen. But as we read on, amen. People have a tendency, though, to find excuses for why, amen, and think about this, for why they can't help somebody. Or why they have a dislike or contempt for somebody. I'm not saying nobody here ever did that. Amen. But people in general, sometimes they'll think of something that you did. I'll give you an example. I told my grandson something he did to me last year this morning. He said, well, what was that? I said, well, you did it. Here's the proof. You did this last year, dude. And then I kicked him out of my bathroom. We find excuses very easily for why we may have an attitude with somebody. We find an excuse very easy for why we don't want to forgive somebody. We find an excuse very easy for why we don't want to be around certain people sometime, amen. We find an excuse very easily. Oh no, man, I don't want to be around them. Last time we went around there, they just acted a doggone fool. Well, don't go around them no more, amen. I'm not saying you're supposed to go around people because they act a fool. Don't go around. I wouldn't go either. If my wife took me around some of her family and they started acting a fool, I wouldn't go around them no more either. Oh, baby, we're not going there. Last time we went to that picnic, they started shooting up everything. We're not going back there no more. So the next time they call, we'd be like, we got something else to do.
That's true.
But we find excuses for not forgiving. Why? Because maybe we don't know no better. See, maybe we're not understanding that scripture. That person that we don't want to pass on forgiveness to is our neighbor.
That's right.
If you did wrong to somebody, I think about this, because I just want to speak on this. If you were the one that did wrong to somebody, you would honestly want them to forgive you.
Yeah. Amen.
Yeah. Love thy neighbor as thyself. You would want them to forgive you. It doesn't matter what the circumstances. See, the shoe of life can change at any moment. We could be in the driver's seat of somebody being mad at us. Amen. Trust me, there's been plenty of people mad at me. And sometimes I try to get with them and say, hey, look, man, my bad. My fault. Didn't mean to rub you that way. Amen. Because the word of God teaches us, well, sometimes we got to be the bigger party.
That's right.
We got to step up to the plate and say, well, you know what? And trust me, watch this here. Knowing fully well the whole time I'm telling them this, that they were dead wrong. Understand me here. I knew without a doubt I was really in the right. But because I want to set the peace, as the word of God requires us to do, we man up. You know what? My bad. You right. Let's be through with this. And we move on. We move on.
Amen.
But sometimes we want to hold on because we don't recognize I need to love that person like I love myself. I need to love them because the word of God says love them.
That's right.
Love your neighbor as you love thyself. Amen. Amen. So anyway, because we make excuses a lot of times, and this is what this gentleman was doing here. Jesus is reading, talking to him. So he goes on and he asks Jesus, he says, and he said unto him, thou hast answered right, this do and thou shalt live. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, and who is my neighbor? And Jesus answered and said, now he's going to tell him a parable. A certain man went down to Jerusalem, to Jericho, and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise, a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him, and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and gave them to the host, and said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. We have gone through life with this understanding about the Good Samaritan. We tend to think of the Good Samaritan, and when somebody says something about a Good Samaritan, we automatically categorize this person as somebody that does good to others. Well, we need to get a better understanding of what the Samaritan really was and who they were, and begin to get a comprehension of, wait a minute, what was the story really all about? So let's look at the Samaritan. What is a Samaritan? The Samaritan is a culture of people that was despised and rejected by the Israelites, pertaining to Samaria, the principal city of 10 tribes of Israel, belonging to the tribe of Ephraim. And after the captivity of those tribes, they was repeopled. They was put in another culture by the Kutites and well, let me break it down. Let me explain to you. We're going to go over to the book of Ezra, 9th chapter. Back in the Old Testament days, the Israelites, they had got out of favor with God. They were doing some things that God was not satisfied with. He kept telling them over and over and over and over again, get your act together. Stop doing the things that you are doing, because I am not pleased with it. Amen. He said this repeatedly, repeatedly, repeatedly. One day he told Jeremiah, look, I'm going to put them people in bondage for 70 years because they refuse to listen to what I'm telling them to do. They keep doing their own thing. They won't follow my laws. So one day, King Nebuchadnezzar came along, because God sent him, and King Nebuchadnezzar came and he took the children of Israel and he took them into their land. As time passed, King Nebuchadnezzar was overthrown and some Persian kings took over that. But the children of Israel were still in bondage, still being held, still in captivity. Years was going by. One day, one of the kings of Persia decided, it's time to send these people back. And so he thought about it. And he said, well, I'm going to send them on back to where they came from. But I am not going to send them all back. I need to look at their city. So in his mind, he said, it's time for us to send a delegate over there. And they went to Jerusalem. Now, Jerusalem had been almost pretty much wiped out. Temple demolished. This is the city that King David built. This is the city that King Solomon finished. Went there. Place is in ruins. So they went there and they decided, we're going to rebuild this spot. We're going to put it back in order. And that's what they did.
Yes.
They started fixing on the city. They started rebuilding the temple. They started rebuilding the walls. And I'm talking, time is going by. We're talking about a couple years have passed by that they're doing all this reconstruction. Amen. And they're beginning to reconstruct the building, amen. And as they're reconstructing everything, things are beginning to come in order. Things are starting to look better. The king is satisfied with the work that is being done. And one day, let me jump over to Ezra myself. Let me get there. And one day, they decided that it was time that they get things in line how they're supposed to be. As the king, as Ezra was sitting there, getting all of the stuff in order, one of the princes came over to Ezra and said to him, look, Ezra, I've been looking at the city here, and I've been looking at what's been going on, and I've noticed that we got a lot of different type of people here. It's not just all Jewish people here no more.
That's right.
And then as they did a little bit more investigation, he began to realize, hold on, it's deeper than that. We got a lot of people that have married some people that ain't supposed to be married to. See, to us in this day and age, we can care less about interracial marriages, amen. We don't care who marries who, amen. But back then, the children of Israel, they had a problem. The word of God had came down to them and said that you don't marry nobody that is not an Israelite, amen. So they was locked into marrying only Israelites, amen. If they wasn't a Jew, you can't marry them. And to them, this was like sacrament, defiling. You just can't do it. So as Ezra is looking over the circumstance, and he's beginning, because the people of Israel are coming back. They're starting to move, come on back, and they're bringing their families and their children with them. And he look out there and he says, hold on. You're not supposed to be over here in this group. And because they were so dead set about this kind of stuff, Ezra had to decide, look, man, you guys got two choices here. I'm telling you about the Samaritan. Now we get into what the Samaritan is. Mm-hmm. Everybody that is not a Jew that you married to got to leave here. They can't be on this land.
That's right.
They can't be up in here. They got to go. And so they had to pull out the law of Moses and say, it's time for them to get up out of here. So what did they do? They shipped them off to another land in Ephraim. And that land was called Samaria.
Uh-huh.
So everybody that was of mixed culture, everybody that was not Jew, I don't care if there was their wife, their husband, their son, their kid, whoever it was, had to leave out of Jerusalem.
That's true.
And ended up in a land called Samaria. And when I think about the Samaritans, these were people, I want you to think about this here. They hadn't done anything to anybody. They had just lived. They were living life. They was, why? All of a sudden they being uprooted. They had to be cast out. People didn't want to be around them. It felt like if you went into their company, then something bad would happen to you. And this was the way that they seen these people. And when they seen these people like this, they begin to form an attitude about them. They had to be way over there. The food that they got was the crumbs that came from everybody else. The clothes they got was the clothes that came from everybody else. They was forced to live in a fear of nobody wanting to have anything to do with them. And think about the Samaritans. This is what they were subjected to. Being in a land that was not really yours. Being disliked for you. And you don't even understand why you're being disliked. Uh-huh. You didn't do anything to have to suffer that.
That's right.
But they cast you out like that. So when Jesus was telling the story about the Samaritan, now we get back into that. And he used this person as an example. And he's talking to a Jewish guy. Everybody else had rejected you. The blood Levite had decided he didn't want to give you no help at all. Amen. The other guy decided he wasn't going. He looked over there, seen you, and went on the other side of the street. But the person that you rejected, the person you don't want to have nothing to do with, the person that you rather say, don't touch me, came along and picked you up.
That's right.
Picked you up and took you over here, wrapped you up, fixed your wounds. The person that you look at with disdain was the same one.
Amen.
They stepped up to the plate to help you out. This was the picture he was trying to paint. We got to be careful with the people around us and how we interact with them. Amen. You see, you got to begin to see them in a different light. When you think about the Samaritan, amen.
That's right.
Amen.
The people that everybody else had cast aside. The people that nobody wanted to have anything to do with. What these two people didn't understand, that rejected, that didn't help that person. What were they really saying? They were saying, look, if the shoe of life ever changes,
that's right.
If the shoe of life ever changes, and you find yourself laying in the road, because this is how I did you, and understand this very clearly, because I decided to just leave you abandoned in the road without no help, that's how I want you to do me. Because that's how I treated you. I don't want no help. I don't want nobody to come to my assistance. I don't want nobody to come to my aid, because I refuse to aid anybody else. Amen. So when you refuse to give aid to somebody else, what you in fact is saying is that if I'm ever in that same situation in life, leave me be. Don't give me no help. But when you turn around and change that and you start helping others, you start doing things for others, then what you're saying is that I'm doing unto others like I would want somebody to do to me. Yeah. Just in case I find myself in that type of predicament. Just in case the shoe of life changes, not in my favor. Mm-hmm. I got somebody that I can depend on. Mm-hmm. Just in case.
Right.
See, I begin to think about the requirements that were needed to classify and exile the children of Samaria. I'm thinking about the requirements of that, amen. Oh, hallelujah. What was required? These were people that were daughters, brothers, mothers, fathers, aunts, uncles. These were people, amen. Hallelujah. These were people that others looked at as being dirty. Others looked at as not being acceptable. Others looked at as you can't live in our area. Others looked at it saying, we don't know nothing about you. Others looked at it, say, you're not dressing the same way that I dress.
That's right.
Others looked at him and said, I'm talking about the children of Samaria, amen. But as I'm visualizing the children of Samaria, I'm visualizing the community in which we live in right now, how we look at people. We tend to think they don't look the way that I look. And because they don't look the way you look, because they don't smell the way you smell, because they don't talk the way that you talk, you begin to look at them indifferently.
That's right.
You begin to think that if I get too close to them, their dirt may rub off on you, amen. Uh-huh. You begin to feel like them Jewish people. I don't want to be defiled by them people. I don't want them people to get too close to me. Their smell may rub off on me. I don't want to do too much for them.
Amen.
How you see the people around you.
Uh-huh.
How you interact with the people around you. We live in a community, amen. We right here, this church is in the community where we have to interact with the people.
That's right.
The people that seem like they from the land of Samaria. They've been rejected by others. Nobody wants to talk to them. Nobody wants to communicate with them. Nobody wants to do anything for them. The law enforcement is always on them. They sit there and I see them as the children of Samaria. The people that everybody looked at with this thing. That gets the crumbs from everybody else. Mm. We got to think about that. How do we interact with them?
That's right.
What type of mindset do we have? Because we're living in a modern Samaria right now without even understanding it. Mm-hmm. We're not even understanding it. All around us. We have to begin to get a different mindset. We got to begin to think and understand that if the tables of life, and I keep saying this, because nobody knows what tomorrow holds.
That's true.
Nobody knows what tomorrow holds. You can have your good job today, and the people can come tomorrow. Oh, God. They can come tomorrow and tell you, look, we sold your house 6 months ago. We forgot to come tell you you're supposed to move out of here. Trust me.
I know plenty of people that's happened to.
They got scammed out of their house, forced to live out on the street. The tables of life can turn. You never know why or how a person ended up in the situations in which they ended up. You don't know what drove them to come out.
That's right.
You don't know their circumstances. You think they might have just did it because they felt like doing it. Oh, they just want to live that way. No. Because you don't understand what they're going through. Stop being judgmental about them. Be careful of the opinions that you form about them. When you look at them, don't look at them with your nose all turned up and your attitude not in check. Begin to see them as human beings, because what are they? They are thy neighbors. Love thy neighbor as you would love thyself. See, we got to begin to respect them as people that are God's children. And if we want to make it into the heaven, into our kingdom of God, we got to begin to see these people as our neighbors.
That's right.
People that we can do whatever we can to help, amen. Stop looking at them with this disdain and this contempt. Understand that. You know what? Those are God's children.
That's right.
They're my neighbors.
That's right.
How can I do something to help them? How can I do that? I'm not talking about don't go give them no money so they can go buy them no alcohol. But you see, they need some clothes, give them some clothes.
That's right.
You see, they need a blanket, give them a blanket.
Amen.
You see, they need some food, give them some food.
Amen.
Do whatever you can to help them out.
Amen.
Because they are, unfortunately, whether you understand it, they are our responsibility.
Uh-huh.
They are our neighbors. God has given us the commission to love them as you love thyself.
That's right.
And then he turned around and said what? Do unto others as you would have others to do unto you. For this is the law.
Yes.
And that's what he said, and that's what he means.
Amen.
So we have to do that. We have to make sure that we're living a life so that when God looks down on us, he says, well, you know what? You did everything you could do. And for that, I'm well pleased. Come on in, my good and faithful servant. I thank God for allowing me to share the word of God with you today. I thank God for you being